There's pro race drivers and there's pro sim drivers. Some pro race drivers are actual pro sim competitors and some pro sim drivers compete in pro race invitational events. But generally, both our racing stars and sim wizards are playing at different ends of the same sandpit. Should they stay apart or should they mix together? Personally, I'm all for a Royal Rumble battle where you duke it out for world domination. Speaking of world domination, Clarkie's steering wheel and pedals have arrived, so we check in on his quest to become a sim racing legend. Our guest this week is Supercars TV commentator Rhianna Crean, and Rhianna talks to us about life in the slow lane, salty drivers, and managing Will Davison's Milwaukee Racing Twitch feed. Welcome to eRacing X, a podcast dedicated to bringing you some news, information, and an insight into what the virtual racing world is all about. Welcome, everybody, to eRacing X. And joining me is Andrew Clark. How you going, Clarky?
Not bad today. Be hearing yourself.
Excellent. And also with us is Nathan Huppets. How are you, Nathan?
Very good, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Well, today...
I hope you're not as tongue-tied as Nev.
I'm always tongue-tied. All right. We're going to do a general roundup, and then we've got a few discussions this week. But let's get straight into a bit of a roundup first. Supercars. What did everybody think of the last supercar event?
Well, I noticed that Anton Di Pasquale doesn't want the reverse grid races because there's a lot of carnage. But I think most people watching want the reverse grid races because there's a lot of carnage. I think they're quite interesting at times.
They're some of the most popular races out there. I know people talking about it, and even some of the drivers love to watch them. But I definitely know that the fans are liking those reverse races. I mean, what do you think, Nathan, the reverse races? You're a bit of a purist there. Do you like the reverse grid thing?
I think the idea is good, but I can certainly see that the competitive spirit in some of these guys, like Anton, is coming out. They don't want to get taken out the back of a grid. They want to, you know, get a good result and win the race. So, I don't know, maybe the solution is to just reverse the top 10 or something like that.
But yeah, well, that's what Anton was suggesting, but I actually think it's a little bit simpler than that. I think that the consequences of damage need to be bigger so that instead of just bouncing off and rolling over and keeping on going, like, I think you need to lose some serious time so that people use a few more brains in those corners. And
I think they do. I think you get some iRacing and you're pretty cactus as far as lap time goes.
Yeah, I know, but they don't seem to in the supercars. But overall, I thought, the racing again was fairly good. It was good to see them on, Canada's one of my favourite tracks in the world to look at. So it was great to see them racing out there. And Watkins Glen's just a stunning track. I remember that first year that Ambrose won in a proper NASCAR, and sliding through that bus stop complex and things was, and that last lap was just amazing. And so to watch them doing that in a supercar, I thought was pretty impressive. Probably one of the things that is really good about this is that we're seeing the supercars, for instance, on tracks that we'd never see them on. Yeah, we would never see them racing on Watkins Glen or Canada.
Love them in Watson Glen.
And Spa this weekend, which is another one of my favourite tracks. So it's almost like they've gone to my wish list and said, where are we going to go racing? Well, so I think that part of it to me is really exciting. I mean, they're great tracks. And they actually give you pretty good racing for supercars as opposed to, in real life when we went to Dubai and to places like that. Like, these tracks are actually giving us good racing.
Any tracks you'd like to see them try that they haven't done? I know this is the last round of the series, and even drop Nürburgring, because Spa and Nürburgring is too long tracks, so they just decided to stick to Spa for this.
Simplified it just to Spa. But, I'd love to see Road America. I reckon that would be a great track to have some supercars on. That's a good one.
I'd like to see them on an oval.
That would be interesting.
Let's see how they go drafting and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I was watching the Formula One stuff from Interlagos, and that's an amazing track. I'm not sure whether that's on the iRacing platform, though. But
I haven't watched it yet.
It's a magnificent racetrack. Yeah. I reckon that'd be a nice place to see the supercars on as well.
Great long main straight for drafting as well. So that'd be great into turn one.
The only thing I've seen is Lando Norris qualifying, and it looked great with that.
Well, we're going to give you a spoiler alert then, aren't we?
I already kind of know who wins and stuff.
Anyway, we'll come back to that because we're still on supercars.
Well, we'll talk about Formula One. That was pretty much it, the race in Brazil. But supercars and Formula One together, Lando Norris is going to be in the next V8 supercar around. I mean, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and what I'm loving about this is that the and I know Nathan was talking the other day about how hard a supercar is to drive, even on a sim. We're getting to see things again that we wouldn't see. You know, we've seen Max Verstappen. We saw the other guys last week, Lando Norris this week. But these are great sim races as well. They're not just good real, you know, races in real life. These guys can race a sim. So, you know, Lando Norris is going to be right up there and pushing hard on this one. And he's got the knowledge of the track at Spa that others won't have. So I think he's going to really shake the field up this weekend, and he'd be my tip. I'd be saying this bloke's going to win this weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be very tight, because I know Lando and Max have raced supercars on iRacing before. Obviously, they know Spa, but Shane, Scott and Anton and the other guys, they've raced Spa plenty of times on iRacing as well. So I think Lando will be like Max. He'll be up there at the top. It'll be very competitive, and we've been really lucky to see some awesome racing at the front of the pack and all the way through the pack once the carnage stops.
Well, it's good, isn't it? The quality's been good. And this is my thing, because, you know, when you go into a situation like we're in the hiatus or stop the world type stuff, this has given us our sanity back.
Absolutely.
I've loved it.
Your quality. You look at the way Jamie Whincup has committed himself to really trying to improve from the back of the grid. And he picked up a win last week. You know, I know it was a reverse grid race, but still, you know, you've got to be able to pedal the car well. And he's improved. David Reynolds wasn't so keen at the start, and he's finishing mid-pack.
Also, another thing with the supercars is Lando Norris is going to reckon give it another spike in viewership.
So the geo-tagging of the users would be quite interesting to see. You know, to know exactly where they're coming from. And all motorsport survives on sponsorship. So, you know, Nathan goes out and gets sponsorship for his sim racing, but it's got to have a relevance to the market that you're playing in. So if we've got a supercar and we're getting a huge spike of audience in Holland, do they really care about an Australian product? But by the other token, you know, the worldwide brands, your Castrols and your Red Bulls and people like that, I mean, they couldn't care where their audience comes from so long as it comes.
Still on Lando Norris, though, and getting into IndyCar. Mate, what a fabulous race, IndyCar. That was probably my favourite race of the week. I knew Scott McLaughlin had won. Again, I couldn't avoid it. It was all over the place. But I did not know how he won. And I was like, coming one lap from the end, I thought, how does he win this thing?
Not even, yeah.
Coming to the last turn, he's still fifth. How do you win this?
But if we go back to the real life stuff, you know, like I went to Indy last year for the first time, and it is exactly how it goes. You see them drafting down the straight. You see them going to try and break the toe and all that sort of stuff. And watching that race, it was like I was back there almost, which I loved. So that part of it I really enjoyed. But then watching that race, you know, just the, like, Scotty McLaughlin was fifth on the last corner. And then there were two crashes that take out pairs of drivers in front of him. It was amazing. And you could see the look on his face when he crossed the finish line that he was far from expecting it when he got there. But, you know, he got there and he got the win, and it was like, you know, he's jumping up and down and yelling and shouting and doing hooting and hollering. He wouldn't pour the milk over himself, though, but anyway.
No, I saw that. He drank it, but he didn't want it to.
He said, I've got to race this sim later in the week.
I did the same trick by watching the broadcast on one screen and Scott McLaughlin's in-car and his Twitch account on the other. And, it was a fantastic ending, because I'd also, unfortunately, seen the result. I didn't know what was going to happen, and they were dicey on fuel, and there was a lot of strategy work going on in the car, so that was fascinating to listen to. And just watching those McLaren boys who've been super aggressive throughout that E-Series.
There were three of them at the front at one stage.
And which McLaren will really love in Indy cars, to have their cars that competitive, given they couldn't even make the grid at Indy 500 last year. But as you say, what's great is that's fuel economy run. It's the tyres wearing out and things, you know, which, you know, when you're not looking at this thing too closely, you don't ever imagine that happening in this virtual world.
No.
And just watching it all map and watching the, you know, the pit stops, and they bring it up and say, you know, he pitted on lap 36 and, you know, he did it on 52 and blah, blah, blah. And then you know he can go hard. It's good.
And then that happens in real racing too. Yeah. Most consumers of that content don't realise the amount of strategy. It's not just flat out racing for 70 laps. There's a lot of strategy, saving fuel, picking the right time, making the right overtake, letting someone go past.
Looking after your tyres.
Yeah.
Right, and the same thing happens in iRacing. You've got to look after all that stuff.
Yeah, and no doubt we'll talk to Rihanna later about the connection that we're getting between the drivers slash engineers or spotters, whatever we want to call them in sim racing world. You know, we're just getting a lot more chat and we're starting to understand a lot more about the thinking that goes into what's happening. As you say, yeah. You know, do I go hard on the tyres early because I need to make up some space but accept that I'm going to, you know, take the life out of them? Yeah. How do I save my fuel? Can I stop now and get myself through? Now, what about the drafting aspect? You know, am I going to tuck into this toe or that toe and all that sort of stuff? So it's been good to hear them doing it. I just wish that Foxtel and Twitch could get synchronised.
Yeah,
well, they're out by about a minute.
It's can't you just stop your Twitch stream and kind of buffer it so then you kick it in when the race starts?
Well, but then it wouldn't be a Twitch, would it? It'd be a kind of a delayed itch.
It's kind of well, it is the digital age. Just finishing off the IndyCar bit, there's been a bit of angst between drivers, Lando Norris and Paginard.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of said Paginard was a bit salty because Paginard, he felt, actually didn't want a non-IndyCar driver to win the race. And
honey, I've got my notes here. My notes say Lando Norris taken out by a backmarker, Pagano. He won the 500 list this year. Yeah, there's a whole lot of stories about that part of it, but, you know, whether he didn't want a non-IndyCar person to win or whether he's even able to score from earlier in the race, who knows. But if he did brake test him, it's okay in the virtual world, isn't it, Nathan? How many demerit points does he get?
Depends if someone reports him.
Oh, I can't because it was the Formula One one. There's no demerit points on the Formula One 2020 game.
Well, moving on, NASCAR, I just wanted to highlight Brody Kostecki finished third on the weekend in his championship. Got any point scores there, Clarky, for supercars, IndyCar, anything like that?
I haven't got the supercars. I've got the IndyCars, though.
What's
I did that one for you. Scott McLaughlin was the champion.
No way.
It's all over. It's all over, really? So he won the championship. Okay. And by the way, he would have won even if he'd finished fifth.
So he had to finish fifth or higher, he would have won.
Well, no, because Will Power and Pagano were nowhere.
Yeah, well, they crashed out.
So he only had to get 15 points on them. So, and he got the 2 points for pole. So he is the inaugural IndyCar iRacing Challenge champion.
Nice.
We had James Davison out there running, an Australian. We had Will Power out there running, Australian, all running in the top field with the McLarens and Pagano for a while. So it was a little bit of an Aussie down under fest up there.
Can you get points for supercars?
So the championship lead is actually Scott McLaughlin. So he's on 759 with Cam Waters behind him on 670, so 89 points behind, with Van Gisbergen, Heimgartner, and Chaz Mostert and Fabian Coulthard. And then we're going to go all – oh, no, Will Davison's in seventh. There you go. So
he's always been up there. I've always noticed Will up there. So he's doing well.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a live championship, which is good. The IndyCars, unfortunately, didn't publish their official championship, so I've had to do that with a spreadsheet.
Okay, guys, so you guys have been looking at a few different series. Andrew, you've been looking at Formula E, and Nathan, you've been looking at the IRX series. So let's first go with Andrew and give me a bit of a rundown on the Formula E, your take on it.
Yeah, so it's called the Race at Home series, which I think is quite interesting. Formula E, possibly when you think about it, it's possibly the easiest one to make the transition into the e-racing world because it's very electronic anyway. I mean, they've had the fan vote system where they give the one car a bit of extra power.
Can they still do that?
Yeah, not in this, they can't, no. They don't even have, you know, in the real series, you can drive over a special spot on the track and get extra power. You can't do that in any of this. So they've given a couple of extra things which are quite interesting. So they've got the challenge races, which are for the pro sim drivers. So not the drivers of the series, but the pro sims. And the person who wins that's going to get a drive in a proper Formula E car at the end of it all. That's a pretty serious thing in there.
I'm like, I'll blow the dust off my steering wheel.
Well, you're two races down, so chances are very slim of you winning. and that's quite a hotly contested thing. They've got a couple of interesting things across the races, like last driver after a certain lap gets dropped off, and the next lap, the next one goes, and the next one goes, and the next one goes. So it gets pretty fiery towards the tail of the field to not be last. But in the main series, it's even more interesting. So there's a young guy called Max Gunther, and he's won both races so far. He's the youngest guy in Formula E field.
When was he coming in the real series?
Well, he won a race, I think, last year. So he's the youngest ever winner of a race. So doing okay, but he's really come from nowhere in it. But they've also, this is one thing, and Nathan might know a little bit more about this, but they're running on a software thing called the R-Factor 2. And they actually built a racetrack from scratch that doesn't exist in real life. So it's called the Electric Docklands.
Yeah.
And they just built this track, and it's got a rail line and all sorts of things in there. And, you know, so they've done it there. And, you know, the software looked pretty good from where I sat, but obviously you don't know when you haven't used it.
Nathan, you've got iRacing and you've got R-Factor. What are the differences?
R-Factor is just another simulation platform, and it is a proper simulation platform. So you'll find a lot of international motorsport teams will build their own very large simulators, and they'll base their software on the R-Factor platform. And as Kai he was saying, you can model your own cars, your own physics, you can make your own tracks. And so race teams will tend to use R-Factor as a base, and they build their own software and technology on top of that. So it can be very high end as far as a simulator goes. It's very tunable, whereas iRacing is a software platform that you buy, you race, you can't modify the car, you can't modify the track.
That's interesting, because the other thing they've done is the regular Formula E drivers have been all given the same package. So they've all been sent a play seat with Fanatec pedals and wheels.
So they've got the same equipment even.
Exactly the same equipment. But
okay. The
sim racers don't. They can use whatever they've got. So I think that part of it's interesting that, we're locking you into this platform and we're sending you all of this stuff that's exactly the same.
Okay, moving on. Nathan, you were watching some IRX, some Rallycross.
Yeah, I think we've been spoiled for choice with the amount of sim racing content at the moment. So there's not enough hours in the day to watch everything that's being broadcast, but I have been particularly enjoying the Subaru IRX All-Star Invitational Series. So they've run a couple of races, and it's a Rallycross competition with lots of heat races and a final. And I've been particularly enjoying watching the Twitch streams and listening to the drivers and their banter. They all tend to congregate in groups and have a good laugh and a bit of fun. The guys who are really doing well at the moment are Sammy Matty Trogan, a young Finnish driver, I think he is, who is a rallycross driver but also a sim racer, doing very well. And Mitchell De Jong, who we know has experience in rallycross in America, and he's an avid sim racer as well. He's been on iRacing for quite a long time, and it's no surprise that those two guys are smashing the field at the moment. They're doing very well.
Have you had a crack at the World Rallycross on your sim? Because I had a go, and my golly gosh, is that hard.
They're fantastic fun once you get the hang of it.
Oh boy, are they quick.
Spend more time sideways and in the air than
I've only had the one go at it, but oh my golly gosh, it was just unbelievable. But I wanted to find a handbrake. You know, they got to give me a handbrake.
Saw some of them had their own handbrake setups, so like their own rigs and stuff.
Yep, they can help a lot.
Well, you guys are talking about, and this is moving on into some discussion topic, and we're talking about pro sims or sim pros, I'd probably prefer to call them. There's sim pros, there's pro drivers, there's pro invitational events. There's a lot, and we are seeing the sim pro drivers competing, some of the top ones competing with the actual drivers in their respective series. Supercars is an example, IndyCars is another example. Supercars had Brody Kostecki. Even though he was a Super 2 driver, I reckon he was more known as a sim pro. Would you like to see more pro sim races in these events with the drivers?
Doesn't bother me to tell you the truth. I think I'm kind of enjoying my fill of the supercar people. I'm a bit disappointed the Formula One field, for instance, doesn't have them all in it, like other series have done it, yeah. Like supercars, Dave Reynolds got in trouble for not running that second round. He was told he had to do the rounds. So I think, if you make them all do it and it's like a real thing, I think it would have been great. It would have been good to see, your Lewis Hamiltons and people in the Formula One as well.
I also heard that a couple of drivers haven't been taking it seriously in the supercars, and there's just been a bit of a crash fest. And supercars has come down on top of the drivers and put out a bit of a memo saying, take it seriously, guys, or we're going to park you.
You've got to take it seriously. There's people watching, and you have sponsors. So yeah. A racing car driver's job is not to win races. It's to bring in eyeballs on the sponsor signs. I think they'll start to take it a bit more seriously. Each week, each driver will get more serious, which will be good.
Nathan, with Formula One, is that I think these series are trying to get all the pro drivers that have a big profile involved. And if they can't, they're forced to bring in a golfer or bring in a well-known sim racer with a big audience, like Broadbent in Formula One. He's done a great job, actually, you know. So
yeah. There are a couple of cricketers who can't drive to save themselves.
But they'll bring in the people. That's part of what it's all about.
This is the thing. You could not do that in real life. You could not put Ben Stokes on the grid of a Formula One race. I mean, aside from the fact that you couldn't fit him in the car to start with, you can put him in there and let him have a race, you know. They had one of the guys that my daughter loves from One Direction in the early race and all those sort of things. So, yeah, they can really reach, the sport can reach different levels and it can reach a whole bunch of different people. And this is one of the great powers of what we're doing now.
Let's move on. Clarkie, your wheel and pedals has finally arrived.
Woohoo! So, I can now do multiple laps without crashing.
No more of that right click button anymore.
No, though, the right click button, she's gone, you know. So yep, so I've got myself, I've progressed from the slow stuff.
Tell me what you've done. Have you taken a photo and have you put it up on the website yet?
No, I haven't. I fiddled around with how much force feedback I was getting. So I thought that initially the setup that it gave me was too low, so I put a bit more force into it so I can feel the car a little bit more in the corners, and I'm getting a bit more of a kick when I get it wrong, which is interesting. Initially I went and made my brake pedal. I said, push hard on the pedal. So I pushed as hard as I could. Then I worked out that meant I had to push really hard every time. So I've eased that back now, so I've actually got a bit more control out of the brake pedal and things. So fine-tuning it to me, which is the beauty of it all.
Well, Nathan, you know what it's like to be a newbie, and you've been through all this. What are some of the mistakes a newbie makes on iRacing?
That's a big list, Nev.
Can we do the top five?
Look, I think the first thing to do is obviously spend some time, like he's doing, and get familiar with a car. Picking the Mazda MX-5 is a great one to start with. Pick a couple of tracks just to do laps. Learn how it handles. Learn how to, you know, when it loses control, what do you do and how does it feel and that sort of thing. Because like we were talking about before, there's a different feeling in a sim car than there is in a real car. You have to adjust to that. But I think practice really makes perfect in getting your head around how the platform works and the license system and that sort of thing.
How much force feedback do you like on your steering wheel?
Look, for me, I'd like to be as realistic as possible. So, that might mean a more powerful wheel that can give you maybe 8 to 10 newton meters of force, something like that. So, same with the pedals. I just got a new set of pedals the other day, which I've now got a brake pedal where I can use up to 90 kilograms of braking force. So that'll replicate, you know, a real car when you
really, you could basically got a stand on it.
Just about, yeah, if you really want to push that hard. So
I did have very sore legs after my first few hours of doing this.
Be fit.
Even my son, who spent half of Sunday on it, you know, came out and said, oh, I can't walk.
Well, welcome to motorsport, fella.
Well, normally it's your ribs that get hurt in motor racing, so it was interesting that it's my legs that are hurting.
So I think the Fusion Sim Racing team, what we're going to suggest is we get Clarkie into a session and we do a bit of testing and show him the ropes a little bit and see.
We got to do something. We've got to twitch it. We've got to twitch it and record that.
It's funny. So, and the other interesting thing, like since getting the wheel, we've been a bit more experimental in the cars. You know, so I said, I tried the World Rallycross car this afternoon. Oh boy, that was tough. You know, we've had a go on things like the Dallara Indy car, and we took out a supercar the other day and all sorts of other things. So we've been a bit more experimental on the cars. I even took a sprint car out and did some...
Wondering if you've done any dirt sprinter. How'd you go with that?
That's all right. I've driven a sprint car. So, I think Brody was even talking about how realistic it is. It actually is. You know, when it bites, it bites. And you
turn end up, right to go left.
Yeah, you end up facing in a different direction than you thought. So, but, you know, I do have to attach... Yeah, the concept that I can't quite see what I want. So I probably need the two extra screens to give you that angle when you're on the slide. And I know you can change the viewing angle on your car, on your screen and things, but nothing beats that concept of having the two extra screens. So
triple screens or VR, it makes a big difference. So you've got
Have you used the VR?
I have only once or twice. Some of our team love it and would never go back to triple screens. And I've known other people who prefer to use triple screens rather than VR. So I get a bit motion sick in a motion simulator. Just I don't know whether it's a calibration or something. So I prefer the static three screens, and I'll probably stick with that for the moment.
How long, Nathan, when you first started, how long were you playing on a single screen until you went to three screens?
For the shortest time possible until I could afford to buy as a budget.
I've been hunting screens tonight.
Oh, really?
It's only,
I've been looking.
Because you can see more, you can see the apex of a corner, and you know, when you're in a sim, you lose all that 3D awareness that you have in a real car. Mm. So you want to try and recreate or get some.
That's why I kind of like the idea of the VR, yeah. You know, because then when I look to the right, I'll be looking to the right.
You can see the car next to you. You can look out the window. And
yeah, exactly. So I think I might have a crack at that before I buy a bunch of new screens.
Wow.
My son will be very interested in VR because he's going to have a crack at that Erebus challenge that's on at the moment. So
I just wanted to get into that.
For the teenage kids, so he's going to sign up.
Tell me about the Erebus challenge quickly.
Well, it's interesting. They've got two brackets of age groups. So there's an age group below when you're allowed to drive a real car, and then they've got a teenager up to, I think it's 16 to 18. And the winner of the one under is going to get some simulator work with Brody Kostecki and Anton Di Pasquale. And the next group up are actually going to get to drive a real car up in Queensland.
Nice.
Which would be interesting as well. And they've chosen a novel format, you know, they're looking for consistent quick times, not just the quickest time ever. And so a whole bunch of things. So they've really thought about it, which is what you would expect. I mean, you know, we spoke to Brody Kostecki the other day, and he's a very level-headed, smart guy about what he's doing. So he's essentially running that show, I think, with Anton. And it's interesting. It's their next generation drivers that they're hunting around. So Byron thinks that's the ant's pants. So I don't think I'm going to touch my simulator on a weekend at all now. He'll be sitting here just going.
Well, the only iRacing experience I've got is actually doing your paint schemes.
I know, and it's beautiful, but I want a stripe on it somewhere.
So you got a big X on it.
I know it's got a big X, but we want a stripe. Now, my question to Nathan, though, is the only way I can see what the car looks like is to go out on the track and crash as quickly as I can so I can play the replay. Is there not a button I can push somewhere to see the paint scheme without having to do that?
Outside view? No, you'd have to play a console game to do that. You can't do that in iRacing.
Why don't I ever you just have a, like, view my paint scheme where it just spin it round and go around and go, oh, shit, I need to move that.
It's been a bit of fun, and we've been fiddling around with our Solstice paint scheme, so we'll have the official e-Racing X paint scheme up and
running. We'll get some images up. Okay, guys, it looks like we've pretty much run out of time. Coming up, we have an interview with Rihanna Cran. She gives us a bit of insight into Twitch and a bit of how the old V8 supercars is going for them. Okay, gentlemen, all I can say is may the 4th be with you.
So we've got Rihanna Cran on the line with us tonight, and she's going to have a bit of a chat about twitching, which not like twerking or all those other sort of things, but twitching. And she's twitching for Will, which is even more interesting. But Rihanna, it's strange times. You must be a little bit bored and missing your car racing by now.
Yeah, absolutely, Clarkie. Thanks, guys, for having me on the show. It's obviously very strange times for everyone, and our household obviously is very different for both Will and I, not travelling, not going to supercar races. Two people that live very fast-paced lives, no pun intended, and we are both currently, you know, at our home and not being able to do what we both love, and that's travel, watch racing cars. He obviously is racing cars, and not only that, it's actually just seeing the people that we always see every couple of weeks. As you guys all know, that we're a big family or a big traveling circus that sees each other every fortnight for, you know, over 10 years and more for most of you, and when we don't see those people you know, every couple of weeks, it's quite a strange feeling. So fortunately, supercars have tried to make the best of a very tough situation, and they've got this new platform with the E-Series happening. And I think it's been pretty successful, you know, all in all. The drivers have been fantastic. They've really embraced it. All the teams have embraced it. And fortunately, the fans have embraced it, which is really, really important.
And it also looks like the dogs have too. We've got a bit of a dog off going between the Davisons and the Percats, and
yes,
who knows what's going to appear this week. I mean, what's Lando Norris got, for instance?
Yeah, well, that's super exciting. I mean, how cool is it that in this really difficult time, really tough for sponsors, really tough for money, really tough for TV time, that we've been able to, you know, cross-pollinate with other other areas of motorsport and have the likes of Max Verstappen, you know, Marcus Ambrose, Will Power, and now that, you know, they've just announced Lando Norris. I mean, I think that that is just one of the real cool things that have come out of this E-Series is the ability to get those different eyes into our sport.
So before we jump straight onto the Twitch stuff, I mean, what I've really enjoyed as a journo who's been doing this for way too long is the personality parts are starting to come through. So one of the more frequent questions I get when you meet somebody in a coffee shop or something and you tell them what they do, they say, oh, what's this person like and what's that person like, you know? Because what we see is a very, you know, straight down the line vanilla person. Like you take a Jamie Whincup, for instance, like at the racetrack, he's one of the most focused and driven, yet away from the track, he's actually not too bad a bloke. Yep. We're getting to see a little bit more of that, I think, in this format than we do elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of that just comes down to the fact that, you know, the guys are predominantly in their lounge room, you know, or wherever the simulator is set up. They're in the comforts of their own home. You know, the pressure is not really on to the same extent that what they are when they're at a racetrack and they're racing for their, you know, their life. A simulator, as much as it does mean something, these races do mean stuff. They mean stuff for their sponsors. They want to win them, but it's still a simulator. So they can have some fun and they can show a bit of their personalities. And fortunately, they don't have to wear a helmet, so we can see their faces and see their reactions.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is that you're not actually setting up a car, so they don't have to think about that. All they're doing is thinking about the purity of the racing. Yep. And as Nathan can tell you, and you know, now that I'm a budding young sim racer myself, you know, it is very real.
Yep.
Brings the fun back into it, I think, for them as well.
Yeah, so all in this particular E-Series, all of it is a fixed setup, and I'm sure Nathan can explain that better than what I can. They can't sort of change certain things with the car. There's little bits and pieces they can do, but in terms of the setup, they are given the setup a couple of days before the Wednesday night when the track is released to them, and then that's it. It's set and forget, off you go, just practice the lap type thing.
Did Will know the pit lane hack?
In what way, sorry?
Well, it's supposedly there was a bit of a pit lane thing where you didn't have to put the limiter on, you just controlled.
Yeah, that's very, very controversial.
Okay.
So there was a fair blow up after that week, last week, because that wasn't something that was public knowledge. Well, maybe it was for some drivers, but not all drivers, that was public knowledge. And, so that did cause quite a bit of high drama, if you like, after last week, because, you know, it just seems that seems fairly normal that you would put a pit limiter on in a racing situation to you know, go racing. But apparently in simulator racing, that's not normal.
Yeah,
Nathan.
I know they called it a hack, but it's, yeah, I guess the experienced sim guys know that you can just go 1 or 2 kilometres an hour faster if you're really careful with the throttle. So I think in real terms, look, it probably only adds maybe 1 second, you know.
Short. That's enough.
But I think what we're seeing from Will and the rest of the guys is, yeah, they're really starting to take this fairly seriously. Yeah.
Which I love. I love the fact that you guys are taking it seriously.
Yes.
It adds to excitement. The commentary, all that stuff has just been outstanding, which has just added another level. Because you've been involved in supercars for just about 14 years and you're involved in the media. How are you feeling not being part of the telecast?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it unfortunately it is what it is with the current situation. Obviously we can't fly to the venues, to the host studios in Sydney, which is where Jess and Neil live. So that, and obviously Maddie White, sorry, as well. So that works for them. Scafie lives in Melbourne, so it's, you know, it doesn't work for him to be able to be involved on the Wednesday night show. The Monday night show that we're producing, they park him off in Melbourne by himself, which, you know, is kind of the best way that they can possibly do it. Chad is doing his bit because he's done E-Series stuff before with
Jonathan.
Thank you. He's and who is obviously a sim expert. And yeah, it is a shame that I'm not currently in the telecast. I'd love to be part of it, but it's just one of those things at the moment where it's just.
Have you found yourself running around the lounge room with your microphone trying to get stories?
Well, it's you know, I was hoping that there might have been the ability for me to be able to jump on and do some interviews and stuff with the guys through the chat forum that they use, but I know they did try to talk to some of the guys during races and stuff, and it is quite difficult to do because they're all on one sort of general chat, which is a chat called Discord, and it's quite a lot. It's kind of like having a race control channel open to all drivers and then having all drivers chatting at the same time with a race control, if you know what I mean.
But I think surely listening to all the drivers talk to each other during a race has got to be one of the most entertaining things you could listen to. And I know they can't broadcast a lot of it.
Yes.
They've been talking a lot about that.
It is. It's very, very entertaining, and I think even some of the drivers have probably now got a new appreciation for the engineers because you can actually listen to that. So if you, I'm probably now directing the conversation, but if you do listen to a Twitch or if you follow someone's Twitch, which is a streaming platform, which I'm now becoming an expert since this has all happened. So if you follow a driver or follow the Supercars Twitch platform, you can hear all the driver chat, and some of it can get fairly heated. So there's a lot of it is quite lighthearted, but there's
saltiness.
It gets a bit spicy out there, that's for sure, which is fun. It's fun.
One of the things I've found interesting about Twitch is probably the practice races that they've been doing for IndyCar and so forth, and you hear them really talking through it all. So they're talking through what are the rules, you know, on a restart. So I was watching the Motegi one, and they were, you know, two or three laps from home under a safety car, and they're saying, "Are we going to get a green white checker?" NASCAR, you idiot. And off you go. So I think it's been fascinating to hear the conversations going on about how they're going to handle a restart, how we're going to learn this part, because they'd never get to do that. It's a very individual sport in that sense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the beauty of Twitch is what I'm starting to learn is the personalities of the drivers are what we're now starting to uncover, because they are having maybe a chat on the radio, or they are having the odd blow up, or they may tell someone that they're a WANKER or whatever they are. It's willpower.
You can say it.
Willpower, famously, you know, that's his famous word that he likes to use. So it's
a podcast. You can say it.
It's a bit of fun. It's fun. Like it's really quite enjoyable. And what I've kind of done with Will's Twitch in particular is I've sort of taken control of it. So each Wednesday night I have the laptop in front of me, and I reply to the people that are tuning in via Will's Twitch. So we have conversations throughout the night. We have a lot of fun. We talk about what people have had for dinner. They ask me questions about Will. I respond. You know, they ask questions about, you know, the formats for the evening, and, you know, and so I'm kind of like a host for the night.
Now, most critically, I tried to find Will Davison's Twitch channel the other night to watch it, and there's a few Will Davisons, but it wasn't him.
No, yeah, he's under Milwaukee Racing. So
yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I've found with Twitch. It's really hard to find drivers.
Search for people, yeah.
Yes, you got to get their tag or...
It's because we're so old, Neville, it's a new world for us, you know. Get your kids to help you.
Yeah, so Milwaukee really wanted to have the Twitch under their name. That was a thing that they wanted. They wanted it branded, so it's all branded under Milwaukee Racing. So that was the only reason that it's.
That's what I'm watching on Wednesday night. Then,
love to know what sort of guidelines, if any, Milwaukee have given Will, because we know that we've seen there's some risks in live streaming and that sort of thing.
Definitely,
drivers getting in some pretty hot water, but. What do you think of that? Is there any pressure to do the right thing, or has Will got a lot of freedom to be himself?
As far as I'm aware, he hasn't been given any guidelines. I mean, I'm always very, very cautious about how we are. And I think like I also monitor the chat. I haven't really had any dramas, but occasionally there's been a person who maybe has started to comment a few times and I've just said, I'm monitoring this chat. If you don't wish to say things that are in a, you know, the right light, then just go somewhere else. Because it is under a sponsored name, it's, I don't, you know, there's, you don't need to be on there saying negative things or saying things that are just of poor taste. So I like to just get rid of people pretty quickly if they, if that's how they want to behave. The feedback I've received from people that are on his Twitch are that his one is pretty conservative and it's all very above board. I have followed a couple of other drivers' Twitches just for like interest, and there's a fair bit of rubbish that goes on. Unfortunately, at the moment, there's a lot of rubbish on social media as well, and
it's full of it.
Really,
you're never gonna stop it. It is what it is, unfortunately. But yeah, you do have to be very careful. I mean, we have learnt what happened to Larson in NASCAR. You know, he you know, said one word. And he didn't say it in a negative tone, but he did say a word that he shouldn't have said, and he lost everything. So you've got to be very careful.
Yeah, I really think that having that accessibility to the drivers adds far more than it takes away, you know. So I'd love to see more of this ongoing, even as Supercars gets back into action, and, you know, maybe there is an opportunity for the sort of E-Series and that accessibility to continue.
There's definitely a market for it. I don't think that it needs to be every Wednesday night for, you know, 3 hours type thing, but I think there's definitely a market that this can still exist with normal racing as well, I think.
So where do you see the sports side of things going when supercars actually get up racing?
I just think that it can be an adjunct to our regular racing season. I don't think it's – but I also – but I think that sim racing, particularly with supercars, won't work if it's, no disrespect, Nathan, but if it's just park professional sim races branded with supercar branding and go E-Series racing, I don't think that works. I think that you'd still need the heroes, as in you still need Jamie Wincup's, Mark Winterbottom's, Will Davison's, Scott McLaughlin's, you know, like you need the big names in the E-Series.
I agree.
Need the heroes. You need the guys that are recognisable. I mean, you might be able to back that up with some of the, you know, some professional sim races in some capacity, whether you do pro-ams and stuff like that. But I don't think that just branding supercars labels on things and then just put professional sim races behind it is the way to go.
And I think that's the interesting part, because the pro drivers have really brought, as in the pro V8 proper drivers, have brought something new to the table here, which we hadn't noticed. I mean, 2 months ago, you wouldn't have had me sitting here talking about sim racing.
Yes.
And online stuff like we are today. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really kind of changed that world. But I think your idea around the pro-am concept, and even if you take the Formula E thing where they've got an amateur race or non-professionals, but, yeah, and then the professionals, yeah, yeah, race afterwards. So it's, yeah, a really good combination, and I think it's you know, it's going to work quite well, I think, over time, but it'll never replace the real thing,
I don't think so. We've been given a really great opportunity to keep engaged with our fans, to keep sponsorship, you know, in the forefront of television. You know, we've had Fox Sports were showing really great numbers. Facebook had, we had 500,000 views on Facebook when Max Verstappen was in the car the other week. I mean, any sport in the current climate would give their right arm for those kind of eyeballs at the moment. So we've been given a really good opportunity to showcase what we've got. They're pretty significant numbers considering it's not real. You know what I mean? Like, streaming definitely will be the way forward for a lot of things. The thing that lets streaming down in Australia, unfortunately, is our internet. And that to be fair, that it is even a problem, has been an issue just with the E-Series. We had to change internet providers at our house at the start of the E-Series because our internet wasn't quick enough. The drivers were told what your internet has to be. Ours wasn't good enough, so we actually had to scramble in the midst of a lockdown and to get a new internet provider and in order to be up to, you know, capacity of the iRacing platform. I know Nick Perkett, he's had to shift his entire simulator to a different facility because his internet wasn't keeping up. So it's all good and well to say, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to stream and we're going to have, you know, thousands of people streaming, but we'd still need that one thing in order to be able to do that, and that's internet.
Brianna, I'd like to thank you for your time, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. It's been fun learning a new thing over the last few weeks, and I'm in no means an expert, as I said, but it's definitely been same for you guys, a bit of a learning curve over the last few weeks. So it's been fun to find out a whole new industry of streamers and gamers.
Thanks, Rada.
No worries.
Appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you in the future.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the chat.
Racing X has been produced for Motorsport 360, the app, by Big Hair Productions. And you've been listening to Andrew Clark, Nathan Huppets and Neville Wilkinson. We also would like to thank Rihanna Crean for her time on the phone. The song you're listening to is Electric Cars by Dave Butt, and all other production and sound design is by yours truly. You can get E-Racing X from most good podcast destinations, including Anchor, Spotify and iTunes. For extended interviews, stories and all other extras, you can view and listen at our website, eracingx.com. As always, thanks for listening and take care of yourselves.